You're listening to the potential cast for the episode Never Kill a Boy on the First Date. While awaiting the arrival of the warrior vampire called the Anointed One, Buffy's big date at the Bronze ends with an assault on a funeral home. Okay.
All right.
Hey guys.
So.
Hey.
Hello. So who are you? Do we need to intro ourselves now?
Oh, yeah, we have to intro ourselves. I forgot. It's like, everybody knows this by now. Okay, go, Steph.
My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kim.
This is Gabby.
And I'm Illyrio.
And together we are Gax.
Yes, we are. Gax unite.
That stays.
So, how did you guys like this episode?
I've never laughed so hard in my life.
Laugh funny or laugh bad?
Both.
Oh,
and it's awesome.
Gabby?
Wow, I had a really hard time getting through it the first time I saw it. I had to rewatch it. I don't know what it was. If I just couldn't get into it. If Owen irritated me too much or what, but I finally got through it the second time, and I liked it much better the second time. I actually made it all the way through without having to stop or do anything
and then
else.
Go vomit and then come back.
No, that's awful. Wow.
I mean, Cordelia wasn't on that much, was she?
Although no. She did say my favorite line so far of the entire series.
Oh, okay.
Which I'll save to the end.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm glad I stayed clear of Cordelia's lines. I thought they'd be popular. I really enjoyed this episode.
I loved it.
I thought Owen was kind of an uber caricature, naive kind of character, which, you know, plays really well up against the fact that he has no idea what Buffy's up to and stuff. So I think that he was cast really well. As the kind of doe-eyed boy.
I wouldn't say that. I think he's just a really bad actor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh.
I'm not convinced.
I don't think he's that smart to play that dumb. Does that make sense?
or he's the greatest actor in the history at playing dumb, right?
Possibly.
But it's like, you know, Betty White, comedic genius. She's not a dummy, but she can play the dummy better than I've ever seen anybody. Mm-hmm. You know?
And Owen is no Betty White.
Owen's no Betty White, that's for sure. Yeah. But I did find that the Return of the Master did kind of give me those feelings of, yeah, this is first season, low budget master scenes, you know?
Mm.
But I really enjoyed the master in this episode.
Yeah, I think it really, like, I think this episode, we finally got more of the arc of the whole season, where we were going. Mm-hmm. Like, when the five people were killed and then one rose from that.
Yeah.
Like, it was all laid out, which was like, oh, finally, I think here's when the momentum started. Well, for me, I think.
Yeah. I thought this episode was creepy. I like the creepiness. I like the guy quoting Revelation, how creepy that was, and the, mm-hmm. and the little boy. Creepy.
Anytime it's a little boy. What is it about kids that are so creepy?
I have two of them, and they're horrifying. Yeah. So, how did you guys like that twist?
That it was the kid?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting it.
No, I am.
But everything about Buffy has been like, expect the unexpected. I'm like, when it was revealed, I'm like, oh, of course.
My question is, why was the Revelations quoting guy made into a vampire to begin with? Was it just a distraction?
Yeah, red, what do you call it? A red herring.
Yeah. I see. Were the other people that died in the crash also made vampires, or just him? Because we only saw him, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just wondering. They they probably selected him based on his profile.
Yeah, it seemed too obvious that he was going to be the one, but I had no idea that it was going to be that adorable little, well, creepy boy.
Yes. I mean, he's sitting or standing there next to the master, and he looks creepier than the guy with all the makeup on his face.
Exactly.
Like, that's, you know, oof.
Loved it.
So do we want to get into our points of revelation, or do we want to do feedback first?
Oh, yeah, let's do feedback.
Let's do feedback.
Okay.
Voicemail first?
Sure.
Voicemail. Okay.
Hey, Dax, this is Kelly Jo calling in to comment on the whole cheerleader thing. Yeah, here's what happened at my school this year. Our most attractive cheerleader was Matt Fay, a very effeminate gay boy who saved our ass for 14th Street. Yeah. That's how much we care about cheerleading at my school or the entire sports in general. All right, just wanted to add my word and try and be more contributor because I love you, Dad. All right. Bye. See you at Comic-Con.
See you at Comic-Con, Kelly Jo.
Yes. Comic-Con very soon.
See you at
Comic-Con. So another person who... cheerleading is not that important there. Awesome. Okay, good. It's not just Canada.
Yeah.
It's also New York State, yeah. Which is close to Canada.
Very close.
So maybe there's a correlation there. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, KJ.
So, emails.
All right. Which email? Sophia?
Yeah.
I'll read it. Hi, Gax. Just finished listening to your third podcast. I've been listening to podcasts for about a year now, almost all related to Buffy, I think. But this will be my first email into one of the shows. Just wanted to say that it's really nice to be able to listen to people's first impressions of the show. I watched the show when it first aired in the UK. I think it was 1997. But due to various TV channel issues the show encountered, I can't really be sure. When I was 8 or 9, I think. So I was clearly younger than the intended audience. I needed a parent to rent out the season 2 finale because I wasn't old enough to rent out the 12 rated version. Wow, you're young. I'm 21 now and have been watching the show obsessively since the beginning. And because my memory is awful, I can't remember my first impressions. Other than addiction. I vaguely remember missing one or two episodes when they were aired, and those luckily are not the episodes that I feel damages my viewing when I finally watch them, specifically Never Kill a Boy on the First Date and Reptile Boy. I've just finished my second year at university and have successfully got 2 housemates addicted to the show. One just finished season 5 before I moved out with my DVDs. I'm still trying with the other. She got a little way into season 2, but kept getting distracted. I've tried to explain that you need to watch the shows without doing anything else and to hold on a little further into season 2 with some of the really gripping episodes. Hopefully I can convince her once I move back. But until then, I have your podcast, amongst others, that'll help me fly my Buffy geek flag. Keep up the great work and can't wait to hear what you think of The Pack, one of my favorite season 1 episodes. Not many to choose from, I grant you, but still, from Sophia.
Cool. Thank you, Sophia.
Thanks, Sophia.
Thank you.
This next email is from Angela Fowler. So, since this person is from Mississippi, we think that you should read it, Steph.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Gax. I found your podcast a couple of days ago, and I've really been enjoying listening to the varying experiences of first time watching. I recently got a friend of mine into Buffy, and she zoomed through the DVDs, but we never had the time to sit down and really talk about the show. I started watching the show when I was about 16, when my boyfriend got me interested around mid-season 2. Are y'all hearing it? Are you getting a...
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
This is like a reoccurring thing. Okay. That was not only when the show got really good, but when it changed show times and was marketed along with the series premiere of Dawson's Creek. So that's when a lot of people started watching. I sort of grew up with Buffy, and that boyfriend who introduced me to the series is now my husband.
Aww.
We have Clada. We have Clada wedding rings, and you'll all know the significance of that when you get to mid-season two. I graduated high school with Buffy, and it's really been one of those shows that's defined my growing up. That said, I can appreciate the non-demographic first-time watchers and not Giles. I think Stephanie was right when she said it's like Harry Potter. The show matures with the characters and with the audience. Right now, it seems appropriate for 15-year-olds. Later on, not so much. And I know everyone tells you to wait for the middle of Season 2, but with the third episode of Season 2, you'll get Spike. Enough said about that for now. By the way, I'm from Mississippi and working at Auburn University right now, and it's really nice to hear an Alabamian on the airway. Good luck. Nice. May the buff be with you.
Nice. Thank you, Angela.
Buff be with you.
Thank you. Back up.
Awesome.
And we have a last one from... Actually, we have... Now, you starred the one from Bob, but do we want to read the one from BW?
Okay.
I don't know.
It's about teacher's pet, yeah.
Oh. Gabby, do you want to read one?
Sure. Okay. Thanks for your time and effort at putting this project together. I also agree about the actors needing a few episodes before they start to understand their characters and understand the show itself. Also, IMO. The writers and directors, and probably everyone else, took a while to get what type of show they'd gotten themselves involved with.
Yes. Yeah.
Regarding Cordelia.
Yay, my favorite.
I'm so glad you're reading this one, Gabby.
She's a mirror of Buffy. Hopefully a bit of a caricature, but one version of what Buffy might have been like had she not become the Slayer. Mm-hmm. Regarding the She-Mantis eggs. Since Mama Mantis wasn't around, the young died in the closet, in my opinion. She-Mantis was a demon who could take the form of any human. And while I don't hate Teacher's Pet, it isn't one of my favorites. It's a bit heavy-handed about the dangerous kids face and how temptations that seem like a cool opportunity can lead down a road that they wouldn't want to take if they knew more about it. Season 1 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer was definitely a low-budget show on a low-budget network, but try not to get too caught up in the not-so-special effects. At least 3 themes or issues have already been introduced, which continue to develop through the story. Y'all brought up one of those issues during this week's discussion. Happy watching, Wes. Thank you, Wes.
Thank you, Wes.
Thank you, Wes, very much. Yeah, it's interesting that it brings up that Cordelia is like a mirror of Buffy, because mm-hmm. they really seemed to get along when they first met.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because didn't Buffy want to be part of her crew, like, so badly?
I think there definitely was quite the, you know, like, they agreed on most things that they talked about. It was just when it came to how Cordelia was treating Willow that it all fell apart.
Yeah, because didn't they both want to be cheerleaders, and they both mm-hmm. obviously like the same guys?
This is true. One more email. This one's from Bob DeGrand. Hi, I just wanted to introduce myself. I do audio editing on the Hellmouth podcast and really liked the episode that Stephanie co-hosted with Brian. So when he mentioned that you had your own Buffy podcast, I downloaded and listened to all the episodes in one sitting. Wow.
Wow. I'm sorry.
I think it's a great idea for a podcast. Watching noobs experience Buffy for the first time is a real joy. I have some experiences with this. A few years back, my wife and I convinced a friend, Chris, to watch Buffy. He had been put off by the title. We sent him the DVDs and asked him to email us with his reactions. After about 8 episodes, he wrote back saying that he saw why we liked it so much. I said that season 1 was crap and to keep watching. I explained that the vampires would get more interesting and nuanced, and that a great strength of Whedon's writing was character development, and there really wasn't time for much in a short half season.
Right.
We later visited him a couple times and watched seasons 3 and 6 with him in their entirety, while my wife poked me in the ribs, whispering, "Foreshadowing." On many occasions, Angel's "I'll be damned" comment is one of many examples where Joss tells you what is going to happen in advance, and you only catch most of these the second time through. From experience, I know what fine line you have to walk and what you can say without being too spoilery. You were doing a fine job of it, although it was a shame about the Angel is a Vampire thing. After season 1, this shouldn't be an issue at all. Another point to avoid spoilers is to not watch the DVD commentaries. They will spoil things seasons in advance. Anyway,
I'm really
looking forward to future episodes. Bob DeGrand.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, he talks about the Hellmouth podcast I was on a few weeks ago.
Cool.
And Brian gave us a really complimentary shout out this time on his show. So if you're looking for another Buffy podcast, listen to the Hellmouth podcast. It's at hellmouthpodcast.com, I think. Mm-hmm. And he does it alone. He does it solo, and it's very interesting. He really dissects the themes and the subtext and all that good stuff.
Nice.
I've now heard a few different people talk about how the first seasons of Joss Whedon shows take a long time, and that really it's their second season this theme to really take shape. And I'm wondering if it's just his choice to use... I'm trying to type something. If he's trying to do what most Russian novelists do, and what a lot of fantasy writers do, is the first section is just, here's everybody. Here's a little bit of stuff. But as soon as you turn that fifth chapter over, it'll all start to come together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it seems as though maybe he uses his first seasons to really set the stage.
For sure. I think you also really need to become attached to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of the times when you're watching a show, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, when they just jump right into story.
Yeah.
And so, like, well, what do I care about these characters? Like, I don't know what they've done for the past little while. Like, I don't know. I haven't grown with them.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it.
Maybe. But I'm definitely kind of seeing how things are developing. And from what I understand, things do kind of... You appreciate there being a first season and setting so much staging at a certain point later. So I'm definitely looking forward to the payoff.
That's good.
Points of revelation?
Owen is the greatest mythological creature of all time.
Explain.
He is adorable.
Is he the Loch Ness Monster?
He reads poetry. And he's hot and a loner. It's something I've never seen in life. So, much like a vampire.
He's sensitive and he's introspective.
And he can also brood for 40 minutes straight.
He sees the true Buffy. He sees the duality in Buffy.
Mm-hmm. My favorite line, I think, was when Cordelia asked him to go to the Bronze or whatever. It's like, a whole bunch of us are going to be there. And he's like, who? She's like, I'm going to be there. He's like, who else? I laughed out loud.
Oh, and also, awesome. Cordelia's a little grabby or a little touchy.
Clingy or clutchy or grabby.
She's a helpful show.
I love that he saw right through her, and all he cared about was Buffy.
Right.
I was like, yay, finally.
Do you guys think that he was attracted to Buffy because he kind of sensed that there was this badass behind there?
No.
And that he was attracted to the fact that, you know, that maybe she'd make his life more interesting and exciting, or is that something that happened just after that one evening?
I think it was after.
Yeah.
I think he was attracted to her, but then once he almost died, then he felt alive.
Oh, that's so cliche. But it's true. It's like, you know, Buffy to Owen is like motorcycles to Evel Knievel.
Yes. Right?
Like, she'll get your blood pumping, apparently.
Yes. I loved it.
So what else did we notice about this episode that really revealed themselves to us?
I thought at the beginning that Giles was putting Buffy like through an exercise, but that was just like a regular night of her killing vampires, right?
Yeah, he just went out critiquing her slightly.
Oh, okay. I actually thought that it was like a setup test that he was doing, like to train her, but no, I guess not.
Like, I keep in my mind thinking that he's got, like, vampires in cages, and he's just going to, like, okay, they're going to attack you. You don't know where. You don't know when. But always be on the lookout. But, yeah, I think it was just there hiding and, you know, maybe giving her advice, or just wanted to see what it was. like to help out?
So what do you guys think? I don't know, but like watching this episode, it felt Buffy was really whiny. And like all she cared about was boys, boys, boys. It just seems so odd.
Well, it's because the more you know moment at the end.
Yeah.
But Buffy realized that anybody that she brings into this life, into the Slayer's life with her, she's putting them in danger.
Right.
And she realized that she can't really date anybody outside of her, of the little circle there, because she would be and she can't really be distracted and go on dates because she put Giles in danger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, he didn't have to go.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he was compelled to, but still.
Yeah.
He's a grown man. He shouldn't be guilt-tripping a teenager. Gabby, do you have any major thoughts? Points of revelation?
I don't know. Something that stuck out to me, which I don't know, it's probably nothing or it might turn into something. The fact that Giles was very, very intrigued by that ring that they found in the cemetery. I'm trying to figure out, like, I know it had that symbol and it pointed him towards, you know, that particular group of vampires. But to me, I don't know. It seems like that's something that definitely might come up again. Like, there's got to be a reason for that ring.
It's because,
because
the ring gave him a reason to break out his books and look into the prophecy.
Okay.
For some reason, I am a sucker for a prophecy. You know? So there is this prophecy about the Aurelius, the brethren,
Brethren of Aurelius?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That there would be the anointed one. And what was funny is Giles was reading to Buffy about the prophecy, and the master at the same time was down there reading the prophecy to his minions.
Okay.
Which, by the way, he can't find better help than these guys.
That's minions for you. Right?
Yeah.
You know?
They're the red shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, one purpose,
it's too bad. Because, I mean, I really feel for the master. He's surrounded by incompetence. Mm-hmm. You know.
I wonder if he wants to get out.
Yeah. Get me out of this place. Surrounded by idiots. Yeah. Anything else, Gabby?
I don't know. I can't think of anything. I mean, I have like a billion notes. I actually took a bunch of notes again, but I don't. That ring thing just really stuck out to me. Maybe it's because I watch too many other things like Vampire Diaries and whatnot. And I'm like, oh my god, is that going to be like some special jewelry that's going to make them do something special?
There's no good. Vampire Diaries has too many MacGuffins.
Okay.
In Buffy, there's not too many of the.
What's a MacGuffin?
Little, it's a thing that's just a thing when you need it to move the plot forward.
Okay.
Like a smoke monster?
Yeah. See, in Vampire Diaries, how the vampires are able to be out during the day is
the ring.
I hate that.
Them for being killed.
Why don't they move to the Pacific Northwest?
I mean, even non-vampires have freaking rings on the Vampire Diaries.
That's hilarious.
Ooh, I saw something really interesting in the scene where they are going to the Sunnydale funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
There is a sign that says "We'll take care of the rest." I laughed out loud when I saw that sign.
I didn't notice it.
No, it was awesome. Neither did I.
That's funny.
Yes.
I was reading. Total side note. I was reading something the other day about how Sarah Michelle Gellar tested like 11 times or something for Buffy before she got the part.
Oh, really?
And that the part was actually offered to Katie Holmes first, but she turned it down to do Dawson's Creek.
Oh,
I did not know that.
Yeah. Like, how different would the show be if she was Buffy?
Wow.
Oh.
Anyways.
I don't think I'd like it.
She has no toughness about her.
But the thing is, she could have. Because if she was groomed to be more of a tough girl, I don't know. You can't maybe, say.
Maybe she would have turned out different.
Yeah. Anyways.
I didn't know that.
Hey, wow. Kimberly, how did you like Xander's shirt in this episode?
Xander's, his silky flowy shirt was awesome.
And how did you like his watch?
His watch? No, what the watch that bothered me was that Owen carried a pocket watch. I'm like, what's
this
guy?
He had a Tweety's watch. It was awesome.
I didn't see that.
Oh my gosh.
What I want to make fun of is Cordelia's crimped hair.
Crimped hair.
Oh.
Can we make fun of how ridiculously high Buffy's pants were this week?
Oh my, yeah.
They were really high.
They were trying out different outfits. It's like she has no midsection.
So what was the watch he was wearing?
He was wearing a Tweety Bird, like, Swatch watch.
A Tweety Bird. Okay.
Yes. A Tweety Bird Swatch watch.
Swatch.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that show Parker Lewis Can't Lose?
And yes, they had synchronized swatches.
Synchronize our swatches.
Oh, my God. I love Parker Lewis.
My sister was obsessed with him. She loved him so much. Oh, any other points that we have?
I felt that this episode really kind of reinforced the whole team.
Yeah.
You know, because it's early on and like, who's joining the team? Anybody else going to join the team? Owen is not a member of the team. You know, like he's involved in the adventure. Is he maybe going to know? Owen is not part of the team.
So the team is the team, I think. So now Owen knows that Buffy's a vampire slayer. So,
no, he doesn't.
Oh, well, that's right. He was knocked
he got
out.
Hit in the head.
Durr. Yes,
conveniently
I did.
Unconscious for the revelatory vampire stuff. Which, you know, if that's going to be your life,
yes,
awesome. And he didn't get to really see her kick the vampire's butt either. She was, you killed my date. Was it date or boyfriend that she said?
You killed my date.
Date.
Good
said
stuff.
It twice too.
Yeah.
Pretty the cool. First time I watched that and she said, you killed my date, I paused it and walked out of the room. I was like, really? Really? Because we're doing a podcast is why I'm continuing to watch the gosh.
Well, there's another quote that was said multiple times, too, that she's the strangest girl. Giles and Angel said that.
Mm-hmm. If that comes up in the... in future episodes.
And I really appreciated the fact that she still just wants to be a normal human being.
Yeah. She so wants to be.
And I can relate to that. Like, she's not happy. You know, like, she'll do it and she does it very well and she understands the whole, she kind of understands the whole responsibility of a thing. She's not just going to drop it. But I think this episode helped, you know, to reinforce the whole, you know, this is your calling, this is priority, and if you can't prioritize this, then there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But she still is very, you know, I just want a regular life.
Yeah.
With what did you notice? Some
great responsibility.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, here's one of my... Giles said that when he was 10, that his father came to him and told him that he's going to be a watcher.
Mm-hmm. His father before him and then his mother before
mother
him, right? Yes,
right.
I caught that.
Mm-hmm.
So Giles' grandmother or great-grandmother was a watcher.
Right.
Very cool.
And the Slayers have always been girls?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
Any other points?
No. Mine are all dumb. They're all related to fashion and...
they're not dumb. They're just related to fashion.
Yeah.
Fashion's not dumb. It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
And Emily Dickinson being a really hot guy's security blanket. I don't get it. But anyways.
I don't get it either.
It's just weird. It's just weird.
Yeah. It was like the... It will never be seen in nature.
Yes. Yes. When did this episode come out? This was 1997?
Uh-huh.
Because, okay. When did Austin Powers come out?
Ooh, I don't know.
Was it around that time or was it later? because Buffy's clothes and as well as the girl in who is singing in the bronze, all their stuff was very like 60s mod inspired. And I'm
1997.
Thinking, yeah, because I was thinking, oh my goodness, was this around the time Austin Powers came out? Because like I remember wearing stuff like that because of that movie. I don't think it was because of Buffy. Could have been. Anyways.
Her boots are great.
Her boots are awesome.
I love her boots.
I loved it. Her skirts are a little short for my likings, but hey, it's a television show.
Yeah, but you know, that was around the time of Ally McBeal, too, and Melrose.
That's right.
You know, Melrose Place had short skirts.
Ally McBeal's skirts were non-existent.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
All right, final thoughts, anybody? Out of 10. Are we going to do that out of 10?
Sure.
Gabby?
Upon first viewing, I would have given it a 3, but I watched it a second time, liked it the second time, and there was slow dancing at the bronze.
That's true. There was slow dancing.
Slow dancing at the bronze. So I will give it a 5.5. Yeah.
You guys are really harsh because I'm like, I would have given it about a 7. I think it's because I laugh so hard. Half because it's funny, half because it's like, oh my god, we really like that in high school. And but I did like the setup of all the stuff with the master.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I would say 7.
Okay, we're good. I would give it an 8, or I would give it a 9. But ooh, then I would, because I love this one, because I think Owen is so dreamy. And, but I would take away a point because of all the ADR.
Oh, yes, it was horrible.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Thank you. Okay, I didn't want to bring it up because a lot of people are like, you can't talk about how bad it was technically and all the effects.
We can talk about whatever we want to talk about.
It was so distracting. Okay, good. I'm glad I wasn't the only one. Because at the beginning, I was like, their lips are barely moving, but yet everything is so animated. I'm like, what's happening? Okay, good. Okay.
And I think, the revelation spouting vampire, like all of his lines were ADR. And I think it may be because of the teeth.
Yeah.
The vampire.
Hmm.
I thought maybe it was because of the background noise because they were in a moving van or a moving bus. But anyways, probably the teeth.
Because when Julie Benz was talking, everything was slurred almost. Maybe they decided to start ADRing all the vampires after that. I don't know. Yeah. My suspicion.
Didn't think of it that way. Gabby, final thoughts?
She did. Yep, she said. Did. She said 5.5. It's your turn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm a tough customer.
Yeah, you are. You were the first. Yeah, you were so harsh. I was like, oh no, that couldn't have happened.
Well,
I
it's still really so even. Early.
Yeah, that's true. I'd say a good 4 out of 5 poutines for me.
Good.
I'm going to stick to this rating system. I have to. You know, it's part of my culture. Right. I really enjoyed it because it had elements. I mean, it's the Return of the Master, which I enjoy because it progresses the season-long arc. And I like the fact that we're going to get to see, okay, what happens if Buffy tries to have a social life, right? And I kind of enjoyed that part of it, too. And I like the whole, I love Giles going in alone.
Yeah.
That to me was awesome. Giles going in alone was hilarious. And I didn't know that vampires walked as slowly as Mike Myers from the Halloween movies because... He scares them away from the cross, and then he just runs in, and then they're not there. But there was kind of an action-adventure feel to it that I really enjoyed because people were in different spots, and they had to reconvene and reorganize, and I really liked that kind of thing. So definitely 4 out of 5 for me.
Good times. Oh, we didn't even talk about Xander and Willow all that much. I just want to reiterate how much I think Xander is absolutely awesome in the role. He's so funny. Like, his timing is just perfect, I think.
Well, it's definitely getting better every time I see him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he's so funny. Like, it's so underappreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love... So, Buffy, how did the slaying go last night? Xander! Yeah. I mean,
I'm sorry,
how did the laying go? Oh, that cracks me up.
That was good.
Or when she's about to change and he's like... What? You're not bothering me.
And then he's peeking at her in the mirror in her jewelry box.
He's so funny. My
friend. That's awesome.
Anything else?
What about contact information, Illyria?
Oh, yeah. If you want to give us your opinion, your thoughts on what we're watching, what we say, any of all that stuff, feel free to give us a call. You can reach us at 270-40-BUFFY. That's the voicemail line. We'd be happy to play your voicemails on the show. You can also contact us via email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
PotentialCast@gmail.com. That's you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/PotentialCast. PotentialCast. And as always, we thank you for listening. And I think we have some closing quotes, do we?
Oh, yes.
Hello, salty goodness.
My favorite
Very
ever.
Very good.
At least you don't have to eat your Soylent Green.
I'll scratch those two off my list.
Pork and beans.
Do they usually move? What's our homework for next time, Steph?
Oh, what is next time? The pack?
The pack.
And
you
we may
good things
have
about the pack.
Yes, we may have a guest.
We may have a guest for the pack. Yeah. Yes.
Ooh. Fresh meat.
Yes. That we will have a surprise guest for the pack.
Can we know about it?
I suppose.
That's what makes it a surprise.
Which. Cool.
Nice.
Woohoo!
You can beep it out. That way we know.
All right.
The audience doesn't know.
Yeah. You know what? I won't even cut it. I'll just bleep it. Awesome. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye now. Bye.
Why have I been reading the emails? Because Kim, you just need to read all the emails.
I just can't wait to get some feedback that says that Kim's voice hurts his ears.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that too.
Yeah. Why does she say a boot all the time?